Off the Ball
Rugby.
Now, it's very easy to look into after defeat and say, oh, that doesn't look well. Oh, that's not right. There's something wrong the camp there when your captain goes and spoils and gets himself a ridiculous yellow card. Or when your captain turns around and shouts at the head halves, take the three. Do what I tell you, take the three.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
To the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Word on the Street, where every week we take a trending sporting topic, something dominating the headlines, and we take it to the public. This week looks a little bit different because I have been left all on my lonesome. Eve and Susanna are not here, and I have managed not to set fire to the building, which is good. But interesting topic this week. At the weekend, both the Irish men's and women's hockey teams qualified for the World Cup at the qualifiers in Santiago in Chile. The men actually came out winners of the whole overall competition, and the women lost out in the semi-final to Australia, but came through in a very dramatic penalty shootout in Japan in the bronze playoff to secure their place. And we were discussing it in the office, saying, has enough of a deal been made about this in the Irish psyche? What's the hockey landscape? We said we better bring this to the experts because I've never played hockey and nobody else in the office had played hockey either. So we were very lucky to speak to Olympian, goalkeeper of the year in the 2018 World Cup, and also host of her own podcast, Aisha McFerrin, to tell us all about what hockey looks like in Ireland at the moment and how important qualifying for the World Cup will be for the sport. So, without further ado, here is episode 43, Hockey Heroics.
Aisha McFerrin, thank you so much for joining us this week on Word on the Street. What a weekend it was for Irish hockey.
Oh, it was pretty good, no? Thanks for having me. And yeah, honestly, like, the most stressful weekend of hockey watching I've ever had. Did not enjoy it. But amazing that we qualified, and the men's as well.
Yeah, so I suppose for those who mightn't be familiar with it, like, at the weekend, both our Irish men's and women's teams qualified for the World Cup later on in this year. The World Cup qualifiers were on in Santiago in Chile. The men actually came out unbeaten. They beat France in the final, and the women's team lost to Australia in the semi-final, but beat Japan in the bronze medal playoff in a penalty shootout. That must have brought back, did it bring back a lot of memories for yourself? I know you're kind of just coming back from an injury at the moment, probably a couple of injuries, you could say, but what was it like to watch on, especially as a keeper, in the penalty shootout with such high stakes?
Yeah, look, it's never fun to be watching that stuff. You always want to be participating in it. But Lizzie Murphy in goal, what a woman. She is phenomenal there. Absolute brilliant woman. And she showed also her level and how good she can be. But yeah, I think there might be some frustrations at the performance against Australia. We knew we could play better than that. And I think the girls obviously will be, yeah, the most disappointed themselves. But to bounce back that next day, and yeah, against Japan, they literally controlled the game. It was unfortunate. Yeah, we couldn't have bought a goal that day, apparently. But a few umpiring decisions, missed a few strokes and stuff. But yeah, look, we came out on top in the end. We qualified, and yeah, job done. We're on to the World Cup.
And myself and the girls were chatting about earlier, we were aware of the fact, because maybe we're more embedded in the sports media. For your own sake, what did you think the coverage was like following, like, such huge news that two national teams have qualified for a World Cup?
Without being harsh, I think it was pretty terrible.
Be harsh.
I'm known for that. But if you look at the success that both of us and the men have had over the recent couple of years, you would like to have hoped there would have been more support from the media on what we're doing, especially in such a big tournament like this. You have the likes of other sports who, yes, maybe a bit more high profile or whatever, but they're getting coverage every day. And you're kind of like, well, they've barely won a match. Like, what are they doing? You see the FAI coming out with it. They're the third highest underperforming team?
Yeah.
With it. Like, how is there more reporting on that than on two of your national teams qualifying for a World Cup? I think, yeah, from that side of things, it's really disappointing. But yeah, hopefully, as we always say in hockey, people jump on the bandwagon at some point. And yeah, we just need to keep showing what we can do. And yeah, if people choose to show it, brilliant. It's going to be great for the sport. But the fact that it's not there after such an achievement is, yeah, it's quite sad, to be honest.
It got us asking the question where the hockey landscape is in Ireland, and maybe why it's not getting the media attention. And you'll be able to give us a much more detailed look at this, but we kind of spoke about our own perspectives. Like, I'd come from a predominantly GAA area where hockey might have the name of, you'd play it in the city, but it would also be more of a private school sport, where even the Midlands was saying that everyone in her school played hockey because camogie wasn't really a big thing. But what was your experience of hockey growing up, I suppose?
So for me, like, I come from Larne. It's a bit out in the sticks, as most people would probably say. I wouldn't say that. But yeah, growing up, it was kind of, depending on what way you went, I ended up going to a grammar school. And so was fortunate that, yeah, everyone played hockey. It was just, that was a common sport for us, is the way kind of camogie would be down south in certain areas. So it very much depends what school you go to up north. It would have the reputation as well of being quite a privileged sport due to, yeah, the equipment required, club fees required, and how different it is, yeah, versus say going and playing a bit of football or whatever. So that side of things, it does make it seem a bit more privileged. But I know for myself, I do not come from that background. I'm so like away from that area. It's insane, and it's something that I'm really working on trying to, yeah, show that hockey, it is for everyone, and especially camogie players. Like, there's some of the girls on our team who play camogie, and their class, like the skills they bring into it, it's just unbelievable to watch. So yeah, it would be nice to get more, I say, cross-community sports playing together, because I think, yeah, ultimately it's just going to help grow both sports in a way.
Do you think, just beyond any of the skills involved, do you think just that stereotype of hockey is still fairly prevalent in Ireland today? Because it's an all-Ireland approach with hockey, which is probably important to note as well.
Yeah. I would say it's mixed. I've definitely seen a change in, say, my time playing. I've now been in the national team 12 years. So from coming in, as a young kid, you're a bit blind to it, but there's definitely is more of an understanding that it is an all-Ireland sport, that it is, yeah, I always joke in the team that I'm the cross community, I'm here to build bridges between the north and the south, and yeah, all backgrounds, because ultimately it's a sport that can be played by all, old, young, doesn't matter where you come from. But some areas would definitely still have that kind of privilege element to it, I think, with the schools that you go to, especially certain areas in Dublin. But I would say outside of the Dublin bubble, it would be quite a common sport for a lot of people to play. And yeah, it'd be nice to get a few more involved.
And you spoke about the bandwagon earlier. I am guilty as charged for that one. 2018, I mean, you were right there in the thick of it, and Ireland came second in the World Cup. It was probably the first I'd ever heard of our national hockey team. Did you see a notable increase from after that of people engaging with the sport, people talking about the sport?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Like, we, during the tournament, I think we've all spoke about it, how we lived in our own bubble, but then after it, you're hearing these stories of like the Galway races being paused, girls getting drinks named after them, like people getting stopped in the streets. And then you're hearing of actual clubs running out of spaces. They don't have enough spots for kids and for adults to go back and join. So that for us was huge to hear that. And I think since then there has been a growth in the sport and more of an awareness of what we can do, because from us and then also the men going to two Olympics as well, us going to the Olympics, there's always been a representation of both the men's and women's national teams in these major tournaments. It's just a shame that I believe the media hasn't maybe followed along with that more consistently, because it's not as if we've disappeared and fallen off the face of the earth with our performances. We've been very consistent at being there. So yeah, it's definitely something that I think has grown, but has more room to grow for sure.
Yeah, I was taking a look at the Hockey Ireland website, and in their strategic plan from like 2024 to 2026, they said they have unprecedented growth with new clubs forming and over 25,000 members across the island, but they'd estimated that 150,000 people interact with hockey in one way or another, whereas that's watching, like, being a referee or an umpire. How would you describe the hockey community in Ireland?
Oh, it's brilliant. Like, it's one of those ones. It's like a big town, but a small village. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone wants to get involved and help each other. You can go to hockey clubs, and there's social hockey going on. There's para hockey going on. There's like, you've got the Masters, you've got a 70-year-old running up and down the pitch, and you're like, you know what? Absolute fair play. So it's amazing to see, because so many people just want to get involved. People want to stay connected to the game because it does bring that social element with it. And compared to maybe some other sports, it's not like a big, crazy atmosphere. It is really social. A lot of families stay involved from, little kids. As soon as they're walking, they're on pitches at the clubs with their parents. So that's the type of environment that is involved in hockey, and especially in Ireland. So, it's an unbelievable experience for sure.
I was chatting to a couple of the people involved with UL Wolves hockey as well earlier, and they were saying that a lot of people come to college, university, they've never played hockey, and they take it up. Do you think that's kind of common, more so that we'd see? You very rarely hear someone taking up the likes of Camogie or Gaelic football when they only get to college level, but do you think you'd see that a lot more with the likes of hockey?
You definitely do. I've started to hear more and more of it. I think one thing that can scare people off is how maybe complex the rules are, but that's not something that you really need to know about as you're just kind of starting out and enjoying it. It's very easy to put on social hockey. 7v7 is now a really big, or hockey 5, sorry, is a really big way of hockey to try and introduce a different style to people, because the 11v11 format, yes, it is big. There's a lot of running, very high speed, but it is easier, I think, for people to get involved, just because essentially you have a stick, you have a ball, playing the flat side, off you go.
Oh, so what's the 5v5 is it you were talking about?
Yeah, so there's a, now I think it's called hockey fives. So essentially you have your outdoor, which is like your 11v11. You have indoor, which is 5v5. 6-on-6. I haven't played indoor in a long time. And then you have hockey fives, which is literally smaller field, goalkeeper and 5 field players. And it's a lot more intense, but a lot more fun, because you're just like, you can score from the halfway line. It's a lot more dynamic.
Like five-a-side, like football five-a-side kind of for hockey.
Like you're playing, you're just playing a bit of crack, like you're out on a Monday night, but there's also an international level at that. So it's starting to grow, because you can see the infrastructure maybe isn't there in all areas for the 11v11 game. For me, priority is still 11v11, but for those who are looking to get into the sport, who are looking to try something new, the 5v5 format is brilliant, and that is something that clubs can do, local towns can do. You just need a patch of you can play on grass, but it wouldn't be the best. But even just playing on gravel, indoor courts, all that sort of stuff, it's a way just to keep the game going and, pick up something new for those that have never tried it before.
And you've played in Louisville in Kentucky for college, and you've played in the Netherlands as well. What do you think the different attitudes are to the different countries, maybe compared to Ireland, to hockey?
Oh, well, the Dutch, they're literally, as soon as you're born, you're in a hockey club or on a pitch. So that's just, you come out breathing hockey. It's their national sport. They're so, it's such a community that goes to it. You're connected to the club, and that is your club. So it's kind of like the football and the Premier League in England. When you're connected and identify with that club, like, you're so, it's gung-ho. You have some areas where there's maybe 4 or 5 clubs in the space of 1 kilometer squared. So
wow,
it's crazy in that sense. Louisville is so different. America in itself, there's been drastic improvements in their hockey. Obviously, building towards the LA Olympics, you're going to have a lot of funding put into that. They've definitely improved over the past couple of years as well. They've kept a real core, steady group together, but that then is helping the college system in the US. But it's very different styles, because the Dutch style is very technical, skillful, play simple. But the American style is probably most American sports. Run hard, be fast, be strong, hit the ball hard.
And in terms of the World Cup now coming up this year, because we've got both male and female teams qualified, how big of an opportunity is this for hockey in Ireland to say, you got on the bandwagon the last time, it was the same with Tokyo, the women's team, and the men's team as well in Paris, but is there something special that can be done here with both teams qualifying?
Yeah, I think this is the first time we both qualified for the same tournament in quite a while, to be honest. Because it's, yeah, as you said, like it was us in Tokyo, the men in Paris, the men in Rio. It's been quite back and forth. But to have both of us there just shows the trajectory that the sport is on in Ireland. And it's a time for people really to see us as people and as athletes and what we do, because it is unbelievable. It's one of the fastest sports in the world. It's right up there with hurling. The skills on show, both on the men's and the women's side, phenomenal. Like you will be watching phenomenal athletes represent Ireland. So yeah, it's a great opportunity to see that, but also just to get behind your national teams. Like, sorry, but we support the football whenever they're losing every week. So why don't you come watch us? Or even watch on the telly for like half a game. We tend to win quite often. So yeah, even like that camaraderie, getting behind us, supporting your athletes who are representing your nation. I think that's going to be great. And having both teams there give a lot of platform to people to do that. And sure, like if there's any big sponsors out there as well, you know, two teams, one tournament, bam, there you go.
Easy. It's an easy sell.
Easy sell, you know.
Because you were without a sponsor just before the 2018 World Cup, weren't you?
Yeah, like I would say we're very much amateur and trying to be professional. Had no sponsor, contributing a lot to, attend training and stuff. And then 6 weeks out from the World Cup, Softco came on board and they changed the story for us. Phenomenal people. Is now the company's been sold on to American other company or something. But
okay.
But the initial investors, Jim and Susan, phenomenal people. They seen, and believed in us as people, that we were going to do something good. So yeah, they're a prime example of how the hockey community in Ireland sticks together. They're involved in hockey clubs. They run their own camps. Like they fund so much of the youth programs as well. And Jim's son is now a goalkeeper in the under 21 setup. So that's when you can see it's the hockey community just wants to support, each other in what we do.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you take a look, that's going back to 2018. That's, the maths wouldn't be as quick with me now, but, you know, 8 years ago, if it's changed that much, do you think the Irish attitude to hockey is going in the right direction then?
You'd like to hope so. I do believe even the support we're getting from Sport Ireland, Sport Northern Ireland, it's improving every year. I believe there should be more. I believe what we're offering and what we're showcasing we can do. I get it. Sport is a business. It's like anything else. If you're not performing at the key moments, then unfortunately that's that. But we are going in the right direction. I believe it could get there faster.
Well, yourself, you're recovering from injury. Would you be hoping to try and make it back into contention ahead of the World Cup? Or how is that looking for you recovery-wise?
Touch wood. Like to hope I make it back. It's been, as you said earlier, quite a turbulent 2 years between... left knee, right ankle, right knee. So I did my gear for the first time last week. So
congratulations.
Thank you. We were very sore the next day. God bless my hips. But I'm back now in England playing for my team over here, joining up with them. So yeah, a couple of weeks to kind of get myself up to speed and then start the season. So yeah, fingers crossed, all going well. Get myself back national level fit and hopefully be in contention for selection for the World Cup.
Do you think that, just when you mentioned there that you're playing with your club in England, do you think the fact that a lot of players aren't playing full time in Ireland, does that have something to do with a bit of a disconnect maybe?
It's mixed, to be honest. I think there's different opportunities with playing in Ireland and playing abroad. When you're playing in Ireland, yes, you have more consistent training with the national team, but if you're, say, one of the best players in Ireland, how are you going to keep improving if you don't have other people like challenging you? You also have a life element. People want to go and travel. Like we have sacrificed so much of our lives staying in Ireland, training. Literally hockey has no off season, so we train all year round. So we don't get to go and travel like all our friends. We don't get to go and do all this fun stuff. So to go and live abroad, play in better leagues, play with better players, some of the best players in the world in the Dutch leagues and the Belgian leagues, players are, one, getting improvement. They're living in another country, experienced life, developing themselves as individuals, how to manage that. Because I think most of us know when you're from Ireland, particularly Dublin, if you don't get out of the bubble, you kind of stay in your little Dublin bubble. So I think it's a great opportunity for those players to get away. It's maybe not right for everyone. And yes, you do see a change maybe in the league when you do have your best players away. But it's trying to get that balance where, yes, those players need to improve, but also you want to have a good core group with the national team still on the Isles so that, yeah, the league can also get better for national team players.
And finally, Shea, I know you're an Olympian yourself, and you mentioned maybe the US would be focusing heavily on LA 2028. What would it mean as well for an Irish team, men's and women's, to qualify again? Because there's World Cups are so special, but there's just something about a collective national push towards an Olympics that's special.
Oh, I completely agree. Seeing the men do it in Paris, I was in Paris myself watching, and so seeing it from the other side, as an athlete at her, because I want it to be there. Like, that's my dream. I want to represent Ireland again at the Olympics in LA. But just that buzz that comes with representing Ireland at the Olympics, and it doesn't matter who you are. Like, it'll be someone in the far corner, like in the far corner of the country, will know that the Olympics is on. So that's where you just get that buzz that everyone is supporting you and behind you no matter what. So yeah, I think for us, that is obviously our big goal. We want to qualify for LA. I haven't really spoke with the team about that, but I'm just saying it is our big goal.
But I know now.
Yeah, it is not. I think all of us are on the same page with that. Yes, we were in Tokyo. It was the COVID Olympics. We were there in these massive stadiums with no one there watching us. We had the cleaners and a few people, and that's about it. So yeah, we as the women's team want to go, we want to experience this. We want to try and get most of us get to our second Olympics. Some people get their debut Olympics. So it's going to be a challenge. Hockey is one of the hardest sports to qualify for because only 12 teams go out of, I think, 80 or something national teams that play. So yeah, it's going to be difficult. We're not afraid to admit it will be a challenge, but yeah, we see ourselves being there and doing the job to qualify.
Yeah, and I suppose a good showing in this World Cup coming up would be instrumental in qualifying for LA. How competitive do you think would this Irish team be setting themselves, like a specific kind of place to finish in as the World Cup, or is it a bit too far out to be putting those figures out?
To be honest, I haven't spoke to them in the past maybe a week or two since they've been in Chile, so I think it is probably a bit too early to put that out. We obviously want to do a lot better than what we did the last World Cup. I think we were all very disappointed to finish where we did. We did not play well at all, and yeah, we're all accepting of that. We learned a lot from that, and you can see even how we play now. It's very attacking. It's very dynamic. There's such a change in what we do. We don't just sit back in typical Irish defend and like most sports. We want to go and play. We want to take it to these top nations. We've always said we want to be competing with the top nations, and this gives us a platform to do that. We've had some very good results recently. We beat Australia in the Pro League. Good results again in the qualifiers there, beating Japan. So now it's the time to go and do another big tournament. And I think the World Cup is a great stepping stone to show ourselves that, you know, we are on the right trajectory. We're on the right path to do this. What we're doing is right. How can we be more consistent with doing that? And that should put us in a good stead for hopefully a good spot.
Well, I, as a self-confessed bandwagoner, I can confirm that I'm jumping aboard. And thank you so much for having a chat with us today, Asia.
Thank you so much.
Go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.